We worship together as always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God of heaven and earth, you come in close and make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin and embrace your forgiveness and seek the way you set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With honesty of heart, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, forgive us. Our will is hindered. We cannot break free. We have spoken. We were silent, we should have said something. We acted when you led. We were still. For the wrong we have done, for the good we have failed to do, have mercy on us, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
People of God, look to the Son, given to heal you and set you free. Because God loved the world so much, take hold of life, eternal life. Amen.
Holy God, in the waters of the flood, you saved the chosen. And in the wilderness of temptations, you protected your Son from sin. Renew us in the gift of baptism. May your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading for the day is from the book of Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness. Not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord, teach me your paths. Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. Your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness.
The second reading is from 1 Peter. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He has put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water, and baptism, which is this prefigured, now saves you, not as a normal or not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you." Please pray with me. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For it is in the wilderness that you meet us, that in that encounter you transform us, and you pour out upon us the gift of faith. Let your word meet us here today, from wherever we come, from those wild places that bring chaos, hurt, and pain into our lives. We pray that you meet us upon this road, that you give us hope, and that you free us for life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Olympics are in full swing. They are going at full bore. And we're hearing some stories of great victory, and we're hearing some crushing stories. We're hearing stories at both ends of the spectrum of life. These Olympic athletes are highly trained and conditioned, and they are at the top of their game. And yet it seems to me when an athlete stumbles, it seems that it's typically because of a failure to execute the fundamentals of their sport. Athletes, we might say, are experts at the fundamentals of their discipline. I'm going to ask for just a little more light this morning if I can get it. For some reason, my fundamentals of my eyes are a little bit weak this morning. Thank you. So Lent is meant to be a time when we, as followers of Jesus Christ, when we return to the fundamentals of faith, those fundamentals that empower us to practice the kingdom life. These fundamentals are prayer, fasting, and sacrificial giving. And the kingdom life is a life about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Again, as I said to the children, our theme for this year that we'll carry out on Sundays and Wednesdays at our noontime service or midday service and evening services in unique ways is the road where faith is found. Over the next 5 weeks, including today, we will explore the wilderness road, the path of suffering, running on empty, the idea of being emptied or emptiness, love that paves the way, and the transformative journey. One question that is already arising for me through this theme and these texts that lie ahead of us is whether we find faith, or if more accurately, faith finds us on this road. So in other words, does prayer and fasting and sacrificial giving, does returning to these fundamentals, does that grow faith? Or as we walk the road of life and experience those different experiences in the wilderness, whatever they might be, does that experience and our experience with those things and connection with God, does faith find us? Perhaps we'll find some of the answers as we walk these roads together. In today's gospel, Jesus is baptized by John in the River Jordan. The heavens are torn apart. The Spirit descends upon Jesus, and the voice from heaven declares, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." It's then Jesus is driven into the wilderness by the Spirit, where he is tempted for 40 days by Satan, where he's with, we're told, the dangerous or wild beast, and the angels wait upon him. The wilderness is a common place of experience for God's people. Israel was led out of slavery in Egypt into the wilderness, where they wandered for 40 years. Moses and Elijah both fled to the wilderness, a place of refuge and discernment. The good news about the wilderness is that it is that in it we are no longer enslaved. We're not yet to the promised land, but we are no longer enslaved to whatever it was that had enslaved us before. In the wilderness, space is created to wrestle with God. Which brings forth another story of the Old Testament. Jacob, on the night before he faces up to his checkered past, wrestles with God in the wilderness. This is true for you and I too, that in baptism we are freed from slavery to sin. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 6. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with Jesus so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. We are no longer slaves, but free. Not yet to the promised land, yet no longer enslaved to the power of sin. The bad news about the wilderness is that temptations come. We must discern the will of God versus our self-will, or the will of the powers of darkness, or the will of all and any power that opposes God. And so the wilderness is a place of work and discernment. It's not the place of leisure and promise and abundance that we hope to arrive at eventually, but it is a place of work and discernment and sorting through the experiences of life, seeking God's will and God's way. The other piece of bad news about the wilderness is that bad things happen here, which after this last week, I need not remind anyone. Bad things happen because we who are fallen, we fall into the temptations. We succumb to the temptations that surround us. Children get hurt. Children get hurt by fist and by tongue, and sadly, by lethal weapons. And I have to say that I've heard a story about each of those just in this last week. Children getting hurt by fist, by tongue, and by lethal weapons. In the wilderness, families get torn apart. Marriages suffer and fail. Because decisions are made by minds that are set on the flesh rather than by minds that are set on the spirit. In the wilderness, car crashes happen. Drug overdoses occur. There are disappointments and disaster along the way. This is nothing new, unfortunately. In Moses' case, when Moses began to lead the people of God in the wilderness, he was in charge of settling disputes between the people. His burden became so heavy that he went to his father-in-law complaining, and his father-in-law Jethro, in wisdom, encouraged Moses to seek out 70 elders of the community and set them up to decide these cases. It took 70 elders in the wilderness to help the people settle their disputes. We fall into temptation. We succumb to those temptations, and bad things happen in the wilderness. There is one thing that I want you to notice in our text today, and I would say this is true in every one of the synoptic gospels. The scriptures never declare that Jesus left the wilderness. What Mark's gospel specifically says is that John is arrested. Jesus hears that John is arrested, and Jesus then moves into action, proclaiming the good news of God, saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in this good news, Jesus says. God's kingdom, says theologian Clifton Black, is not a place, but it is a power. It is God's dynamic potency to put right all that is wrong in the wilderness, to mend brokenness, to cast out spirits of darkness, to heal the hurting, to restore the outcast, to forgive sins, to bring life out of the ashes of death. Bad things, life-destroying things, happen in the wilderness, where kingdoms collide and where our lives are caught in the wreckage. And it's into this mess where Christ Jesus comes. where he comes to meet us. And it's in this place where kingdoms collide and powers rage that we meet, that we discover God in Jesus Christ. That God and his Son, Jesus Christ, are trustworthy even in the midst of the wreckage of our lives. It's been reported quite widely this week that Chicago Cubs player Anthony Rizzo left spring training camp to offer his support, to return to and offer his support to the Parkland community and the students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas School in Florida, as that was his alma mater. Those are his people. He left the comfort of his daily life and the glory of spring training camp to enter the wilderness, making the greatest sacrifice, taking upon himself the act of sacrificial giving, the giving of himself into the suffering of others. That, my friends, is what repentance truly is. We so often think of it as a beating up of the self for all the sins that we've committed, and there is a piece of the truth in that. But repentance truly means it is a turning. It is a turning from self to God and others, to practice the kingdom of life, of love and mercy and grace. When Jesus calls us to repent and to embrace the kingdom, he is inviting us to do exactly that, to turn from self, to turn toward God and others, to practice the kingdom life of love and mercy and grace, to turn from the powers of the world and to partner and participate in the power of God's reign. Friends, we don't have to be professionals or Olympians to return to the fundamentals of faith and to practice kingdom living. There will be times when we blow it. I want you to practice saying with that with me. Just let's say together, I blew it. I blew it. There are times that we will blow it. And there is forgiveness for those times. There will be times when we get it just right, and we will say in those moments, glory to God. Say that with me, glory to God. Because it's not about ourselves when we get it right, but it's by the grace and only by the grace of God that we ever get it right. And don't be surprised that if along the journey you suddenly recognize a new reality, that faith grows here, both in the pain and in the joy of the wilderness. Because as we embrace the wilderness, both its joys and its sorrows, its refuge and its destruction, its carnage and its beauty, there, in and through it all, we meet Jesus. We meet Jesus, the one who has overcome the wilderness and yet lingers there waiting to meet us, to give us hope, to transform our lives for his good and perfect purposes. Amen.
Renewed in the promise of baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church, for all who preach, teach, and inspire your people to lives of service. Renew your church in ministry, mission, and compassion. Unite us in faith and uphold us in the promises of baptism. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the nations, for all who govern or hold positions of authority. for those who work to make their communities safe from violence. Protect all who place themselves in danger to save others from harm. We pray especially for teachers and students. Give them godly minds and surround them with leaders who will work for justice, peace, and freedom. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in need, for those moving to new communities, for individuals who are incarcerated or recently released from prison, for those who are abused or neglected, for the lonely, for those who are ill, and join me in praying the names in the bulletin. We pray for Rolf, Michaela, Norma, Iowa, family of Carolyn, Mavis Ann, Joyce on the birth of Reese, Evangelical Lutheran Church of Lagunitas, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Jesse, and Reese. Send your comfort and peace and calming presence to those who are in need. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this assembly, for musicians, artists, and poets who help us envision your love through word and image and song. For those who have faced exclusion or felt forgotten. For all who reach out in love and welcome. Lord, in your mercy. In a petition from our bishop, she says, violence begins in the human heart. Words can harm or heal. To focus only on guns is to miss the depth of our vocation. Yet guns and access are keys to the challenges we face. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
If the God of glory dwells in you richly, names you beloved, and shines brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Marked with the cross of Christ, go forth to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.